Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take the source material you send our way, the articles, the research, sometimes those really dense white papers, and we pull out the most important knowledge for you.
Yeah, we try to give you that fast track to being well-informed. And today's Deep Dive is, it's very focused. The material is from a research document. It's titled Excerpts from Vetting Professionalism in Self-Directed Deals.
And we're not going to wade through the whole thing.
No, absolutely not. Our mission today is to just isolate and really dig into the single most powerful finding that's presented in this research.
That's right. We are drilling down on this core insight, this relationship between, you know, personal initiative and external expertise, especially in these complex deals. And it's a finding that, you know, at first glance, it almost seems obvious. But the deeper you go, the research really implies a profound level of risk that makes this whole thing essential.
It does. And that core premise, and we're taking this directly from your source material, is this. Professional vetting enhances self-directed deals.
Okay, let's unpack that. Because when I first read it, you know, we're not just talking about something being better when an expert touches it. The source uses the word enhances.
Right.
And that suggests that the baseline state, the deal without that vetting, is somehow, I don't know, suboptimal or maybe even dangerously exposed.
That's a great way to put it.
So why is adding professional vetting so critical, specifically when the deal is self-directed? I mean, what does that term even imply about the risk here?
Well, what's fascinating is the sort of implicit critique of pure independence that's baked into that statement.
Mm-hmm.
If a deal is self-directed, it means the individual who's leading it is managing the entire process from the very beginning, the initiation, all the way to execution.
All of it.
All of it. And they're often driven by a really high degree of, you know, personal vision or belief in the opportunity. And that structure, it gives you speed, it gives you total control, but it also fundamentally bypasses all the structural oversight you'd get in a, say, an institutional transaction.
So a self-directed deal, just to define it for everyone, is a transaction. It could be an investment, a big project, a negotiation where the owner is the architect, the decision maker, and this seems crucial, the primary due diligence officer, all at once.
Precisely. And in that context, the baseline risk is elevated. And not really by market factors, but by human factors. We're talking about deals that are particularly susceptible to cognitive biases.
Okay.
Think about something like confirmation bias, right? The tendency to look for, to interpret, and favor any information that confirms what you already believe.
Of course.
If you've spent months, maybe years, building a self-directed deal, your emotional and intellectual investment makes you uniquely, well, uniquely bad at spotting the fatal flaws in your own work.
That makes perfect sense. So the very enthusiasm, the thing that's driving the deal forward, becomes the enemy of any objective risk assessment.
Exactly.
It sounds like the source material sees this self-directed process as something that's just inherently lacking the necessary guardrails.
It does. And this is where we have to, you know, stop talking so generally about rigor and get really specific about what professional vetting actually provides.
Yeah.
For an audience that follows this topic, just saying, oh, it adds objectivity isn't really enough. We have to get into the mechanics.
Okay, let's do that. Let's break down that vetting professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm managing a self-directed deal, let's say I'm buying a complex asset or starting a joint venture, and I decide I need this professional vetting to get that enhancement. What specific technical things should I expect this rigor to do for me, according to the research?
So there are generally three distinct standardized functions that professional vetting injects, and they each tackle a different risk vector that's inherent in these self-directed deals.
Okay, three functions.
The first one, you have legal and structural due diligence. Now, this goes way beyond just having a lawyer draw up a contract.
Right.
Professional vetting here means a deep dive into counterparty exposure, jurisdictional risk, regulatory compliance checks, and making sure the deal structure itself is defensible against future unforeseen challenges.
So a self-directed manager might just grab a template online, but this is stress testing the entire legal foundation.
You've got it. That immediately addresses a huge blind spot. An independent manager might be totally focused on the financial upside and just forget that the legal framework is the thing that actually preserves that upside.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, what's the second one?
The second mechanism is financial and forensic scrutiny. When you're self-directing, you rely so heavily on the numbers that are either presented to you or that your own team generates.
Sure, you trust your own numbers.
Right. Professional vetting brings in tools like, say, forensic accounting to scrutinize the quality of the assets, to analyze projections with a healthy dose of skepticism, and to apply standardized valuation models. And those models, they neutralize the independent manager's likely anchoring bias.
Ah, anchoring bias. That's a huge one. That's a massive vulnerability in these kinds of deals.
It is.
So if I first saw an asset valued at, say, $10 million,
yeah,
I'm mentally anchored there, even if all the new data suggests it's only worth $7.
Mm-hmm.
So professional vetting forces me to step back and apply external market benchmarks, right?
That is precisely the point. The professional, they don't care what you thought the price was. They care what the standard risk models say the price should be, based on defensible metrics.
Okay, so we have legal and we have financial. What's the third mechanism?
The third one is, it's often overlooked, but it's operational and technical assessment. This is absolutely critical for any deal that involves complex systems or intellectual property or specialized operations.
Okay.
So professional vetting here means bringing in industry specialists to evaluate the feasibility of the business plan, the efficacy of the, you know, the underlying tech, or the sustainability of the operational projections. It's an independent reality check.
A reality check on the actual mechanics of the deal.
Yes.
This is where it gets really interesting for me. Let's do a quick hypothetical just to make this solid. Imagine a self-directed person wants to acquire a specialized software company.
Okay.
They love the product. They believe in the founder. They're super enthusiastic. It's the classic self-directed scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the lack of professional vetting most likely cause this to fail?
Well, failure in that scenario often shows up as a combination of all three vulnerabilities we just talked about.
All at once.
It's a cascade. So the individual, they're driven by their excitement for the product. So they anchor the valuation way too high. That's a lack of financial scrutiny.
Right. Number one.
Then they might overlook some critical clauses in the acquisition contract, maybe related to who owns the IP or future liability for some past regulatory slip up. That's the lack of legal due diligence.
Okay. Number two.
And then most fatally, they might just fail to verify that the core technology can actually scale without a massive unforeseen capital expenditure. They're just relying on the founder's optimistic projections.
That's the lack of technical assessment.
Wow.
That's a systemic breakdown. So the professional vetting, it isn't just a checklist. It's a necessary intervention to counteract that emotional and intellectual proximity the manager has to their own deal.
It is a critical counterbalance, and this leads us directly to this other concept the source highlights, which is why the enhancement is multiplicative, not just additive.
That distinction multiplicative versus additive, I think that's key here.
It is.
Because if the input was just additive, then professional vetting would be, you know, a nice to have. It might add 5% certainty to an already solid deal. But multiplicative suggests that the external rigor fundamentally changes the entire equation.
That's the correct way to read it. The source suggests that in these self-directed deals, the risks are often correlated. They're linked.
They feed on each other.
Exactly. One subjective mistake, like that over-anchoring on price we talked about, it doesn't just result in a slightly higher price. It creates ripple effects. That higher price might stress out the financing structure, which in turn leads to cutting corners on legal protection, which increases your overall liability. It's a chain reaction.
And professional vetting breaks that chain.
It breaks that chain of correlated failure. By introducing standardized metrics and independent analysis at just a few critical points, say a really robust valuation and a thorough legal review, you eliminate the structural flaws that would otherwise amplify any initial mistake that manager makes.
So you're neutralizing a high risk factor.
Yes. And the positive outcome is therefore exponentially greater than the cost or the time you invested in the vetting itself.
Okay, but let's be realistic. The self-directed manager often views professional vetting as just an extra cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is a cost in both time and money. So how does the source justify this multiplicative return? Is it purely about avoiding risk?
It's primarily in the avoidance of what's called tail risk, you know, the high impact, low probability disaster scenarios.
The black swan events.
Sort of. A self-directed manager, by definition, is often just less experienced in spotting those deep structural weaknesses. So by paying for professional vetting, what you're really doing is buying insurance against a systemic collapse of your deal.
Mm.
The research suggests that the cost of failure in an unvetted, self-directed deal almost always dramatically outweighs the cost of the professional services that could have prevented it.
In other words, the cost of non-professionalism in a self-directed environment, it's hidden. It's invisible until it's far too late.
That's a perfect summary.
So the investment in vetting is really a strategic defense mechanism. It ensures that the initial confidence, that vision of the manager, actually translates into high-quality execution.
Precisely right. The self-directed approach provides the engine, the vision, the speed, but the professional vetting provides the structural chassis and the standardized safety systems you need to actually reach the destination in one piece.
This really grounds the core takeaway for you, the listener. Independent action, especially in these high-stakes environments, it requires you to strategically integrate a heightened external review to get the best results.
Yeah.
The research isn't saying don't be independent. It's defining the conditions you need for successful independence.
It's a powerful framework for making strategic decisions. Success in a self-directed world, according to this research, it doesn't just come from acting alone. It comes from knowing the limits of your own perspective and proactively bringing in that standardized professional rigor where your bias or your risk of oversight is highest.
And that really covers the analysis of that single defining sentence in your source material. We've defined the terms, we've detailed the mechanisms, and we've analyzed why this enhancement is multiplicative.
To just summarize that core insight then, professional vetting is a critical factor for success in self-directed deals. And that's because the independent nature of those deals creates a very specific set of cognitive and structural vulnerabilities.
Vulnerabilities that only objective professional input can really neutralize.
Exactly.
And that leads us to a final thought for you to carry forward, something based on the implications here.
Yeah.
If the research highlights that professional vetting enhances these deals, what are the biggest pitfalls? What are the most common critical oversights the source suggests happen when that vetting is missing entirely?
Right. We established that the enhancement comes from correcting these interconnected risks. So if you strip away the vetting, what is the unseen cost of that non-professionalism? Is the primary failure just losing money? Or is it something deeper? Does the lack of vetting lead mostly to flawed execution, or does it lead to a systemic, uncorrectable structural failure, one that maybe even jeopardizes the manager's ability to act independently in the future?
That's a critical challenge to consider, especially as more and more sophisticated transactions move into these self-directed spaces. So the question for you is, how are you ensuring that the vision and confidence that drive your independent decisions are actually supported by the professional rigor you need for true success? That's what we'll leave you with today.
Thank you for sharing your source material with us.
And thank you for joining us for this Focus Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.